We do continue in Ephesians 2, these first 10 verses that are so rich. Starts out with understanding our need, that we were dead, enslaved, and condemned, and children of wrath. But then we get the but God, who is rich in mercy, and his great love, and his grace, and his kindness. And last week we looked at what he did. He gave us life, raised us from the spiritual dead, saved us, and gave us spiritual authority over sin and over Satan. Now today we look at these verses. Why did he do that? The motivations of his work. And there's three reasons why he acted in grace in that way. The first is what you see in verse 5, and what you see in verse 8 and 9, that there would be no boasting, no boasting, no boasting. It's all of God, not of man, not as a result of works, the scripture says. It's totally of him. Now, that's what makes it secure. If it's totally of him, you can't undo it. Or wondered if I have quite done enough. It's also the blessing. It's not like God is in need or like not wanting anybody else to boast because I want all the attention. God is unlike anybody else. It's hard to describe a heart so pure. But it's like if you were had an incurable disease and you were cured, and obviously you would greatly benefit and you'd be so grateful, but the attention would not be so much on you, but the person who performed the operation that made you, that cured you. And so God, not that he's in need of anything, but his most loving gift is what? Only he is perfect. God is light, in him no darkness at all. Only God can say, you know, look at me, scrutinize me. The closer you look at me, the better I look. None of us can say that. Only God can give you the promise. Look, if you put your ultimate confidence in me, you will never be disappointed. We can't give that promise to ourselves. So it makes it secure. It's there's no boasting. It's said to be a gift, a gift. See, God yearns to give the gift of salvation. There is no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He will judge. There is a hell. But he yearns for one to escape his judgment. He wants you to enjoy that gift of knowing that what? You are loved. You're forgiven. You can have his peace. You can have purpose. You can experience the power to live the way God wants you to. He wants you to experience that. Of course, there's no boasting. Also, that makes this religious message distinct from every other message in the world. And that's a great apologetic. Person could say, well, boy, you Christians say you have the truth, and these people say they have the truth, and what am I supposed to do? Am I sort of just resign from work and study comparative religions the rest of my life and find out? But the fact that there's one message that is unique from every other message, the by grace through faith. There's no boasting. The second motivation is what you see in verse 7. He says, he's done this, and this is a staggering verse. He says he's done this, so that in the ages to come, for all eternity, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The surpassing riches, nothing more valuable. His grace, him doing something for us we don't deserve. His kindness, his desire to bless us. Toward us in Christ Jesus. See, when God raised Jesus from the dead, it showed his power. He raised us from the spiritual dead, it showed not only his power, but his grace and his kindness. If somebody comes up to you and say, you know, I want to use you. There's some of you sort of, most of us, we step back a little bit unless we really know the person. I want to make you an object lesson. Well, what's your motivation? Yes, God does want to use you. He does want to make you an object lesson. But he says, let me tell you what. I'm not lacking anything. But I want you to be an object lesson that people can see for all eternity how gracious and kind I am. We don't mind being used by somebody like that. And so, humble yourself before God. Say, God, for your glory, allow my life to witness that you are what? For all eternity, you're gracious and you're kind. Now, this side of eternity, you know, sometimes we may lack, it'll be so clearly through all eternity, but some of his kind, gracious gifts come in strange packages. Sometimes he allows one to go through disappointments, to cry out to him. Even sometimes he's allowed you to go through pain that you can what? Know the God of all comfort. Well, he wants to demonstrate for all eternity that he's gracious and kind toward you, toward you, toward you. So I'll never deserve that, but humble yourself and receive it. Well, there's a third reason he said, no, I don't want there to be any boasting so that you'll know it's secure and attention can be drawn to me because I'm not liking anything, but I want your attention upon someone who won't disappoint you and who is perfect, and you're not going to be disillusioned. Thirdly, it's to, what he sees in verse 10, to create and prepare a people to do good works. To create and prepare a people to do good works. He says, we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, his work of art. We were dead and enslaved and condemned, but he's made you alive and free and beloved, that you can overflow with life and spiritual authority. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. For good works. Good works. Good is the idea of useful and beneficial. The devil was at work in us, according to verse 2. We formerly walked according to the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air, who's at work in the sons of disobedience. Works of death and lies and hate. And we see that all across our culture. But he says, I want to create and prepare a people to do works of life and love and truth. I came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. The devil comes to kill, steal, destroy. And these good works, he's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I think everything is right. Every one of us should personalize Ephesians 2:10. That means he has a specific set of good works for each one of us that are unique to you. No one else has your unique physical features. No one else has your unique upbringing, unique talents, your ability, even your unique weaknesses. All of that is designed. That's why you don't want to change any of that, because of what there are what? Unique set of good works he's preordained for you to walk in. God has prepared the road one day at a time. As you wake up, okay, God has something for you. As long as we have life in our body, he has good works that we can walk in. Much of that is done maybe in the mundane. But he can do an eternal work in the mundane as you abide in him. And you may not even be fully aware of some of the good works. I think of one particular student that I had, talking about prepared beforehand for good works. See, God can even use past things that he redeems. This dear lady was a lawyer and a very successful one, and had been very wealthy. But before she was a Christian, she was a divorce lawyer. Well, she came to know Christ, and she says, I guess a Christian shouldn't work in the abortion clinic. I guess I've got to have another. And she was in a relationship. I mean, the marriage began in an immoral affair. But as she was saved, she became a godly wife and mother and totally changed her practice of law. No longer a divorce lawyer, but reconciliation law. She gave all of her efforts to what? Try to reconcile and pull people together. He prepared us for these good works that we should walk in. You know, just a few verses just to meditate on. Scripture says, He wants you and me to be zealous for these good works. Zealous for them. Titus 2:14 says he, I'll read Titus 2:14. He says, he gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds, zealous for good deeds. Not only he wants us to be zealous, you know what else he says? God says, I will equip you for those good deeds. Like what he says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, when he talks to us about Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So God wants us to be zealous. He wants to equip us. He will even use the trials in your life that can sometimes aid you in walking in your good works God's preordained for you. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 6, where he's praising God for that he's the Father of mercy, God of all comfort. Verse 4, he comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Last week, I heard a testimony. Maybe you're familiar with that because I know that person's name, and sometimes it's been in those ministry, has been in our bulletin in times past, but Phil's friends, I guess I heard Phil's testimony. Twice he survived stage 4 lymphoma cancer, and the dark days of that, but just how God ministered to him, and just anyhow, he started a ministry that's quite large now in regard just to comforting others, cancer patients who have no hope. Well, God can even use trials in our life, things that maybe we think are not good in themselves, and overrules them for good. These good works that you walk in, you don't do them to what? Earn anything before God. Last night, twice, I got to hear the testimony of a dear man, an ex-jihadist, Muslim from Iran, and who spent his life, you know, the idea of just trying to earn salvation. He's published a little book, Forsaking My Father's Religion, and all the trauma he's gone through or whatever, but it's when he saw that Christ shed his blood and died, and he would spend time shedding his blood, just trying to earn, in a sense, that. How different. We don't do these good works to earn something. We know we can rest in his love. Not only you don't have to earn them, God says, you know what? I will give you the motivation and the power to do them. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I love that verse where Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not worthy to be an apostle, least of all the apostles. Yet I labored more than all the apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Meaning, God graciously, not just a meaningful theological term, but what? Means he graciously, through the Spirit, provides the motivation and the power, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's at work in us. So the motivation and the power. I went to something yesterday. It was a sort of a public event in downtown Wheaton, and it was by this ministry. And one testimony was Muhammad, regarding ex-jihadist. The other, I couldn't even begun to do justice. But it was a person, a transgender. It was really just. And this little ministry has put these testimonies as well as others in a little book called Set Free, and they're handing it out in high schools. She lived that way. It was just the pain through her life, but yet when you see the sweetness and the gracious spirit in her life and how she survived all that, and part of it, raised in a Christian home. But even her, it was, and, you know, no bitterness toward her mother or anything, but her mother, really part of the pain was just her mother really didn't know how to live in God's grace herself. And it was, didn't feel like the girls got along with the girls or tried to get, and it was just, but yet, suffered so much and went to the other, but has God been gloriously delivered her? She's married now. I mean, she was years in transgender. And it's the kind of thing you just don't think can happen. But it was just an amazing, and she talks of honestly about her heart, her struggles, and wants to be a voice. Because there is an incredible battle. I mean, the evil one just hates God's creative design. And he will create discontentment but anyhow, she's walking in her good works. She's walking in her good works. God says, let your light shine before men that people may see your good works and glorify the God who is in heaven. Glorify the God who is in heaven. So I say believe God for that for your life. Personalize Ephesians 2:10. In the darkest of circumstances, you can always trust God for these two things. And the plane's about landed here. But this is a couple more things. You can always trust God. Like Paul, he was in prison, didn't know if he's going to live or die. He says, I don't know, but I'm asking. In all this, I pray that you would be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You can say, God, in any circumstances, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but God, exalt your name to the greatest possible extent. And he says also, I believe my hope is that I will not be ashamed. And you, as you've heard me say before, the idea of not being ashamed is what? God, accomplish your purpose. When God accomplishes his purpose, there's no shame. Jesus set his face like a flint to the cross, and he was not ashamed, according to Isaiah 50, verse 7, because God accomplished his purpose. He bore my shame there. But say, God, accomplish your purpose and glorify your name. By this is my Father glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So believe God, that all that he had in his heart, see, you don't have to dream up a vision for your life. No, it's what? It's laying hold of that for which you were laid hold of by Christ Jesus. When he laid hold of you, he had a plan, something he wanted to do in you, for you, through, at every stage of life. At every stage of life. There's every stage of life to the last breath. And so believe God for that. Believe God for that. And I hope that the Lord comes and gets all of us, and we don't even have to worry about any kind of death or burial. But if we do, and I know if you've heard me say many times, it's just if something could be written on my tombstone and it would be true, I'd want the Lord's words there in John 17:4. I glorified the Father by accomplishing the work he gave me to do. See, he has good works for each one of us. So that's the standard of success. I glorified the Father, accomplishing the work he gave me to do. You don't have to be different than you are. Not that I could if I tried. You don't have to compete against anybody else. We just have to be what God wants us to be. Don't underestimate that. Don't ever underestimate what God wants to do. He has created you his masterpiece. He's created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. Father, thank you for your disclosing your gracious motivations. And thank you, God, for wanting to make us an object lesson to exhibit for all eternity how gracious and kind you are. Father, for those good works you've preordained, Lord, for us, even for this fellowship, we pray that you would fully do those, dear God, according to your highest desires in each one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. We pray in everyone's life, even in their darkest moments, come to your help. Send your help from heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.